got the right ones in the right place so that we know what we're doing here. All right. We have a good preacher coming today. Amen.
I don't know about how good, but I'll do my best. Amen. The picture of them there when we sent it, we got a lot of texting. Same with Dad, we texted him, or he texts back and forth almost every day or every other day, and he said the little video welcome made their day, or made their week, it even said later on, so that was nice. Just a quick little something quick, but made them happy, and then they returned to favor. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for this day, Lord God, and I thank you for the opportunity to gather here together with your fellow Christians, fellow believers, Lord God. I ask that you just go forth the message, Lord God. Let it go forth and have its intended purpose, Lord God, as you intended, Lord. I ask that you just speak to each and every heart here in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. So everybody always asks when you're preaching, what are you preaching on? Where are you going? And I told Rocky a little bit this morning because he was the first one here with me. But I'll just throw it out there, Isaiah 53. That's ultimately where I'm headed today. So if you're one of those that gets your Bible, paper Bible, and you got your finger there, ultimately that's where we're heading. It's going to take me a little while to get there, though. So that's your bone for this morning. I'll throw you a bone, Isaiah 53. But to get there, when Jesus came, it says he came what? Preaching the gospel. Came preaching the gospel. And there's more to it, and we're going to get to it, but it came preaching the gospel. So if you're new to church, or you're a new believer, or this is early in your Christian walk, we hear the word gospel. What does that mean? What do we think? The good news, right? And that truly is what the gospel means, the good news. Jesus came to preach the good news. Good news of salvation, right? But how many of you know it doesn't just end there? He didn't come just to preach the gospel of salvation, but he came to do a lot more than that, right? It's a huge part of it. We all know John 3:16, right? As your kid in Sunday school, it's one of the first we memorize. Everybody, I'm pretty sure just about everybody here could recite that one, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, right? Gospel of the salvation. Too many believers think that, or too many Christians or believers just think that's what it is. That's the message. Jesus came preaching that, and that's what it is. That's where I'm at. But I'm here to say he didn't come just to preach a get out of hell free card, right? Didn't come to just preach a you accept me and believe in me and accept me as your Lord and Savior, and you can spend eternity in heaven with me, right? And that is awesome news. If you haven't done that already, I highly recommend it. You should give it a try. You should give it a try. I'm not discounting it at all. But the Bible actually says Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom as well, right? It wasn't just the gospel of salvation, which is huge. It's important. And like I said, you need to give that a try. But it says also that he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So let me put it in scripture so it's just not Corey speaks that's talking there. You throw that first scripture up there, Rocky. Next one, Matthew 4 and 23. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Amen? That's some good news there, right? Similar verse, Matthew 9, 35. Pretty much almost identical. Jesus was going throughout all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. What's that mean? I want to talk a little bit or kind of what I broke down or on the study on that, but The gospel of the kingdom is not apart from power, right? The gospel of the kingdom is evolved around power. Jesus came, it just wasn't the gospel of salvation, but he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom cannot be the gospel of the kingdom apart from power. Paul writes it in Corinthians. Anybody remember that verse or know that one? He's writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4 and 20. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. Right? Plain and simple. The kingdom of God, the power of God, is not just in words that we read in our Bible. It's not just in words and in talk, but it is of power. Kingdom is manifested to us. It's revealed to us through his power. It's delivered us through to us through power. It's the good news of the kingdom of God, right? We're not just talk. We're not just reading. We're not seeing. The power of God is real, right? Amen. Amen. The power of God is real. It's tangible. We've seen it. We've testified to it. And it's not just talk. There's so many religions out there that you can read about it and it never goes anywhere. It's a dead end. It's a dead road. There is no power. There is no nothing that goes along with it. I'm thankful my religion or my God is more than just talk. He's in power, right? Amen. Both the power of God of salvation and the power of God to set us free, power of God to heal us from all our sicknesses, from any disease. It said healing all sicknesses and all diseases in that verse right up there, right? Not just a couple of them or some easy ones, but it said healing all sicknesses and all disease. That's what Jesus came to preach, the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. You following me? Amen. Are we still there? Sometimes I'm better at thinking things than I am talking them and relaying them. The word that Paul uses when he's talking about that, when he writes about that in the Corinthians, it's not just the word power, but it's dunamis. I think I put some, well, I know I put some things there. It means power. Next slide, please. I threw a few, maybe I didn't get it in there. Not that slide. Should be in there, no. Don't jump too far in my slides there. I'll just talk about it. Dunamis, in essence, they're going to see all the verses and they're going to know where I'm going before we get there. In essence means power, the power to do mighty works, to do mighty things. If you read the definition, it's to do miraculous works and healings. That's the word that's translated. It's to perform miracles. Our word dynamite derives from the same word. So when they're translating that word, it's translated that he's in power, but it's in awesome power and mighty works to do miraculous things is the translation. It's not just a little power. It's a big power. It's an unstoppable power. Amen. And as Christians, we should be expecting that power, right? We should be expecting that power in our lives. Everything that God wants to do to and through you is revealed or released to you through his power, right? God wants you to experience all that's available, not just come to know him, but to come to know him deeper and deeper and more every day and experience everything that he has for you. What's the cross? What did the cross do? It's a restoration of God's original plan, right? It's the redeeming cross. God's plan for our life in the very beginning, way back in the garden, was to live free, to live in communion with him and to fellowship with him and to be with him. His plan was for us to live healthy, healthy in peace and in mind, and that was God's plan. It was never his plan for us to have sickness and disease and that we would suffer and be walking around with depression and anxiety. That wasn't the original plan. He doesn't want you living a life oppressed. God's plan was for freedom. Back in the garden, before sin entered the world. Then what happened when sin did enter the world? Then came along sickness, right? Then came along disease, and all of a sudden that disconnect from God. God was going to the garden to look for them, and they're hiding. They're disconnected. They don't want to be with them. They're ashamed. They're embarrassed because sin had entered the world. All of a sudden, depression entered the world, and it wasn't a good place. That's not God's original plan. That wasn't his design for your life or for our lives. So the cross is the restoration of that plan, right? He's working. He is. I won't say he is working. He is, has restored that original plan for your life. Doesn't want you living sick. Doesn't want you living with a whole bunch of junk in your life. He wants to live with you in communion with him. So, amen. I like it. Amen to that. So when it came, we've seen it in the scripture a couple times there, but it's in many, many places. I can only put so many up there. He came preaching the gospel again and again and again. And after they preached the gospel of the kingdom, what followed it? Again and again and again. Healing. Healing. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom and backing it up with signs and miracles and healing of all sicknesses and all diseases, right? Like I said earlier, it didn't just say a couple, or I'll pray for someone who's got a cold, I'll pray for the easy ones. No, he prayed for every, he healed every, there is no sickness, there's no disease greater. So one thing we need to realize, if we're truly going to embrace the gospel of Christ, I want the full gospel. I don't want just salvation. I want the power of God in my life as well. Amen. And healing is a part of that. I think we do a pretty good job in the church here. We pray for a lot of things. We'll pray for anything. We're not holding back. We ain't afraid to pray for healing. And we've seen a lot of good things, right? Amen. We've seen a lot of people healed. We've seen a lot of good reports after sicknesses and disease and illnesses, and we're going to continue on that. We're not backing off. But Isaiah 53, let's read it. Peter references in the New Testament, he's referencing what was written in the Old Testament. He's describing the New Covenant, and he's going to describe basically what Jesus purchased for us on the cross. Peter's describing what the Messiah is going to do. It's Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And here's the verse everybody knows. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Amen? By his scourging we are healed. He didn't deserve any of that. That was for us. He paid that price for us. That's a hard concept. He who knew no sin came and paid it for us, for me. Anybody give gifts at Christmas time? Anybody like giving gifts? Like getting gifts? Yeah, we like Christmas. We like to celebrate. We like to be with family, or even any. It doesn't have to be Christmas. It can be birthdays. It can be anything special. You ever have anybody that has the, I got you this gift. By the way, I kept the receipt. So if you don't like this gift, you can just go get yourself a new one. Anybody have one of them? Over and over and over. So right away, my brain's thinking, well, he got me a gift, but it's probably not really that good. So because he's leading out with, I kept the receipt. If you don't like this one, you can go get yourself a new one. I don't want to be the gift giver. And that's smart, because I want someone to use a gift that I give to them. I don't want to, thanks for that fruitcake. You want a gift that you're going to use. And part of giving that gift is when you give a gift that someone uses, you're proud of it. You're happy. And give, there's one guy at work that buys gifts for us each year at the fire department. We're good friends. And he buys whatever he wants. So how do you buy them? It's like buying a gift for someone who gets anything they want. How do you buy them a gift? Well, the one year I bought him a Duluth Trading Company coat or shirt, double extra large and tall, because he's a big dude, and it fit him perfectly. And he wears that shirt to work as a coat every day of the year around the forever. And it's been that way for 3 or 4 years now. And every time I see him in the morning, I'm like, that was a good gift. I was happy. I was proud. I wanted him to like it and enjoy it. It makes you happy, right? But how many, if you lead with that, I got you a gift, but if you don't like it here, just go get what you want. Isaiah 53 is describing what Jesus purchased for us, right? At a great, great cost. Look at, he's pierced through. He purchased this for us. It's a gift for us. And I don't really accept that gift, or I don't take it, or I just let it. If we're going to fully step into all that he has, we need to accept the gospel of the power that comes along with salvation and actually receive the gift that he has given us. He purchased it. That's the good news of the kingdom. It's the power of God delivering the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom through his power. And one of those gifts is healing. And by his scourging, we are healed. So if we're going after healing in our lives, one thing we need to understand is healing is part of our family inheritance, right? A right that we're entitled to. When we're followers and we're believers or disciples of Christ, that is a right, an advantage of so we are entitled to it. It's part of our family inheritance. It's a family right. The Bible describes that when we got saved, it says in Ephesians, you're no longer a stranger, but you became a part of the household, right? Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and members of the household of God. When we become saved, when we accept that gospel or the good news of salvation, become a member of the family of God, we have rights that we're entitled to. We have rights that come along with that family, with that salvation. That's why we say, good morning. Morning, Brother Mike. And I give him a hug most days when we see him, right? Or sister so-and-so, or we're part of a family. We refer to God as Father, right? We're not just hanging out. We are a family, a church of believers. Become a child of God. Anybody see parents that are rich and their kids are spoiled rotten, they got everything? How could it get any better than the child of God, right? All that he paid for us. My father's rich. Owns a cattle on a thousand hills. That's one of my favorites. John 1. What is it? 12? Yeah. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, it's a right, to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Next. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Bible says that when you become a child of God, it says that you receive the work that Jesus did. I'm entitled to the work that he did. So when I come to Jesus, and I, important here, confess that I'm a sinner, I ask him to forgive me of my sins, ask him to come into my life and be Lord and Savior of my life, I receive. I'm entitled to that inheritance. You need to make him Lord of your life, though. That's an important part. When that family happens, it's overwhelming. It's a whole new feel. It's taking a whole new step, a whole new approach. You're no longer of the old, you're now of the new. Matthew 15, Jesus is about to describe his healing. He uses the phrase children's bread. I preached that, I don't know, it was probably a year or so ago, that it says it's not wise to give the children's bread to the dog. The children's bread is reference to healing. In that scripture, he was using that in reference to healing. And it says that the children's bread, that we're to feast on it. He wants to release it to us. He wants to give it to us because we're part of his family. It's part of what he has bought and paid for us. I got a little reference story here, but it's not really perfect, but it's what I came up with, and I'm going to use it because I like it. We've been doing ministry for years and years, since I was a little guy, or since before I was born, really, or right about when I was born. And over the years, we've ministered to many people all over the world and all over the country, and we've got people that you know all over. And they're believers, and they're family and brothers and sisters in Christ, right? I was asking about the pizza joint guys just to make sure I got my story straight. But back in New York, when I turned 17 and finished school, I was out of New York City because that was not the life for me. I was there with mom and dad from years growing up as a kid, but as soon as I was old enough, I was out of that place because that's that wasn't the place for me. But when I went back home here to Minnesota, they continued that work on. They continued. Everything was still going, and they're meeting people there and doing works and doing church and doing fellowship with people just as we always have been. There's a couple fellas there that, a family that came and got to know them, and they have a pizza shop now. They had pizza shops back then, too, but now they moved from New York to Florida, and they got a pizza shop. It just happens to be about 40 minutes away from where their place is in Florida because they have easy access to it. I don't know how that works. It's not on the far side of Florida. They picked a place in Florida that's close to the pizza shop. But every time we go there, put a picture up, Rocky. Every time we go there, maybe another one. Stop on the next one. Oh, look at that. Don't that look good? It is good. It's not quite lunchtime yet, but every time we go there, we go to the pizza shop because, one, you're visiting with them, and you get free pizza. The benefit of knowing them and being part of their lives, and it goes deeper than that, but the benefit of knowing them, oh, look at that, huh? That is known as the Harley Special Pizza. They got his own pizza there because they know what he likes, and you walk in the door and you wave, and you don't even have to order, you don't have to do nothing. You just go sit down, and next thing you know, you're getting pizza thrown at you. Fresh, good, hot pizza. It's a benefit of knowing them and being in family with them. It's our right. You go there. I don't want to say it's my right because they do it out of love, and they do it out of being family. Big smiles. You notice it's usually the Harley Special Pizza up there. And it never costs a dime. Never costs a dime. And I go there with my kids, and I wasn't even part of the ministry when they met these guys and did the work. Yet I roll into Florida, and I get free pizza because I'm part of the family. It's my family. I don't want to say right because they do it because they love us, but it's my family right. And I'll try to pay, and they just look at me and shake their head, and then they get mad because you tried to pay. You're part of a family that's strong. You have rights, and you have a family inheritance. You can take that picture off there, Rocky. Things are available to you now, once you're part of the kingdom, that you did not have available to you before. Just like in the pizza shop, I got that right. I didn't work for that right. I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything to George and Sam, but I'm part of the family, and it entitles me. I kind of like it. Who likes free pizza? That's really, really good. Every time we go. But because of the sacrifice that the family made and part of the family of God, you step into that inheritance. Just with the inheritance of healing and God's power and all that. I didn't do a single thing to earn any of that. I can't earn it. I can't do anything to make it so that I am owed or deserved that. God paid the price. Jesus paid the price. And it's a free gift he gives freely to us. I think we need to really understand that. The benefits that come along with being a part of that kingdom, being that family of God, right? We need to fully grasp what all that entails. Psalms 103 lays it out pretty good. But in there, I'll get to it in a second, but in there it says, do not forget the benefits, right? So I'm going to tell you, if you're a new believer, or you're new to faith in Jesus, if today's your early in your walk, and you don't understand all the benefits, I want to tell you what those benefits are. I want to lay them out for you. I want to show you and say, look at Isaiah 53. These are the benefits that are available. Psalms 103. Let me show you what's available to you as a family or a child of God. Back to the pizza world. Let me show you what's available being a family of the pizza shop guys. This is what's available to you. Others in church have been here their whole lives, long time. The Bible says, do not forget your benefits. Why do you think it says that? Why do you think we got to read that, put in there, do not eat this when you put packaging or whatever now and you got the little salt absorber, do not eat this? Sometimes we forget. Do not forget the benefits. Do not forget what was purchased on the cross. Do not forget what is your family inheritance. Is your right? Let's just read it. Psalms 103, starting in, did I start in one or two? Well, let's read one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in within me. Bless his holy name. So good, it has to be said twice. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Don't forget them, because we tend to forget the awesome benefits. Anybody go for a job interview and you're researching or you're sitting there talking or someone's recruiting you and they really want you and they'll present their benefit package to you? Well, we pay this and we offer 401k and medical and dental and a they're trying to buy you. This is the benefit package that's available to you if you accept this job. You're going to ask about it. And I'm here to tell you there is no better benefit package than being a child or a follower of God. You can line everything else up. It don't compare. There is no comparison. You can't even try. There's no point in it. The benefits that come with being a follower of God are unfathomable. That's why we need to let more and more people know. We need to let people know what is available. It is so good. We need to spread that. When you find a job that's really, really good, you go recruit your buddies. Hey, I'm working here and it is good. You need to come on over here. That's what we need to be doing. Getting out there telling them. And I know we are. But I'm reminding us so we do not forget. The benefit package that comes along with this is phenomenal. He forgives your sins, right? You know what that means? Just that alone. We're no longer under the control of sin. We're no longer paying the consequence of that sin. We're not under its control anymore. It doesn't have us by the neck, short hairs on the neck, and you're no longer, we sing that song, no longer a slave to sin. No longer is the effect of sin death. He's forgiven us. He's wiped it clean. You have a clean slate. How far? Clean. What's the Bible say about that? Psalms, a little further down there. Next verse. Maybe not. East is from the west, right? Oh, no, it's in 12. 103:12. Is it way down there, Rocky? He separated it as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. It's removed it from your life. And that's just one of the benefits. That the penalty of that is death. And he removed it as far as the east is from the west. And that's just one of it. He heals, right? All your diseases, all your sickness. Let's just read it because it's easier than me trying to talk it. 103, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, all of them, not just the little ones, not just the little. He forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, not just a few, heals them all, who redeems your life from destruction. Anybody, excuse me, need your life redeemed from destruction? I'll take it, that's for sure, because sometimes Corey can go down some wrong roads or do some without his guidance or without him in my life. I don't, he redeems your life from destruction and then crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I have a different version on here. Tender mercies, what did the last one? Go back again. And compassion. I'll take them both. Loving kindness, tender mercies, and compassion. Who satisfies your mouth with good deeds. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Anybody want some renewed youth? I'll take some renewed youth. I'll take some renewed youth like an eagle, right? He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. So when you're down in the deep pit, despair, he comes in, grabs you, takes you out, and redeems you. Separates that sin as far as the east is from the west and crowns you with love and compassion. Satisfies your desires with good things. The things that you desire in your heart to follow him and to be with him, he's going to satisfy that with good things. I'd say we can't forget what's available. Can't forget that benefit package. Because the sad thing is, we're pretty good at forgetting it sometimes. I go to Florida and I'm downtown and I go to the wrong pizza shop and I got to pay full price. That's sad and unfortunate, right? I don't want to forget the benefits. And if I do forget, Dad will remind you. You got to go get the pizza. And I'm sick of pizza, Dad. You got to go get the pizza. Don't forget the benefits. Go get your pizza. Know about it and use it. I don't want to forget about it. 20 years down the road, maybe Dad's gone by 20 years, I don't know. I don't want to forget about the pizza. I don't want to forget about the benefits. He paid a great price for that. There's a family joke there. It's not just your right, it's your legal right. As a child of God, it's your legal right. Healing is your legal right. Jesus died on the cross, made a whole new covenant, right? We're entering into the new covenant with us. He's getting that original design, that original purpose, that new covenant we need to be aware of. When you sign a contract, do you read it and you look at it, or you just take it for granted and sign your name? We want to know what's in that contract. We want to know what's in that covenant. Isaiah 53, Psalms 103 tells you what's in that covenant. Took our pain, took it away. Pain in Hebrew translates to sickness and disease, some of its translation. So by the Bible, the verse there saying, he took our pain, it's saying he took our sickness, he took our disease. In the new covenant, what he paid on the cross, he took our sickness, bore our suffering. You think Jesus deserves to pay the price for my problems or what my sin? He bore my suffering. So I don't have to suffer. He bore that for me. Both mentally and physically, right? Stress here. Let me take that for you. I'll go ahead and bear that suffering for you. I'll take that sickness. I'll take that disease. I'll take it all because he paid the price. Bible says he was, what, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, right? Transgression simply means sin. He was pierced through for our transgression, for our sin. The sin that condemned us to life without him, life in hell, he came and took that, and now I can stand before the Father, washed in the blood, right? Stand before the Father, clean. He took all that. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Anybody want to walk in peace? Peace is a big one, right? The world's busy, minds are busy, everybody's going 1,000 directions in one time, different. Peace is huge. He paid for that peace with a great price. He paid for it. It's part of the atonement, right? It says, in the world you will have tribulation. It says, in the world you'll have worry. In the world you'll have anxiety, you'll have fears. But he said, don't worry about that, right? I do a lot of worrying. Don't worry about that. I have overcome the world. In me, you will have peace. I want that peace, right? The peace when things aren't going so good that I can just smile and say, amen. Thank you, Jesus. He paid the price for it. Why wouldn't you claim it? I want to be a church that accepts nothing less than what Jesus purchased on the cross for us. We need to be a church that doesn't leave part of it behind. Take a little bit. I'll take the salvation so I don't spend life in hell. But we need to take all those benefits. Claim them. We're children of God, right? It's our legal right. None of it's because I worked for it. None of it's because I did it. It's because Jesus paid the price. And he didn't say, well, here's a gift receipt, and if you don't like it, go find something that... No, he paid the price. It's the perfect gift. Use it. When I roll into that pizza shop, I don't roll in and say, hey, man, give me that pizza. You owe me. I deserve it because I am who I am. Now better give me the pizza. That's not how it works. I could never work for that. You could never tell Jesus, you owe me, give it. But he paid the price. As brothers, sisters, children of God, it's what's available to us. By his wounds and by his stripes, we are healed. It talks about in the Old Testament laws, you could only give 40 lashes, right? Everybody knows or studied that. Could only give 40 lashes. So usually they would give 40 minus one because you can't go over 40 just to make sure that you didn't go over. Old Testament law. He received 39 lashes for us. 39 stripes, 39 lashes, or so we could be healed, right? By those stripes, we are healed. And it also says what? Not that you are gonna be healed. It says you are. Present tense, right now. It's already been purchased. It's already been bought. You are healed. Not that you will be healed. Keep praying and you are healed. So sometimes people struggle with it when you talk about that a little of claiming it. It's a legal right. I own it. You're entitled, aren't you? You're not owed nothing. But I'm telling you right now, the gospel is the gospel of power. The gospel of the kingdom of salvation, the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of power. And he delivers that through us, to us through power. Not just in works, in actual doing it. If you're going to be set free from oppression, if you're going to be healed from sickness, that's his will in your life, right? He bought it for you, he paid for you, and through his power, he's going to deliver it to you. Some people struggle with God's will in their lives, right? I don't understand God's will or God's plan for me. I just don't understand. Go read Isaiah 53. That is his will for your life. If you're struggling with what God wants or what he has for you, go read Isaiah 53, Psalms 103. I'm sorry. It's what God intends for you. It's what he worked for. It's what he sacrificed for at a great price. He paid the price for our healing. Let's expect it, right? It's not arrogant. It's not entitled. I actually think it's a form of gratitude, the highest form of gratitude that you could ever. He paid for that, and I'm going to claim it. And if I don't claim it, that's pretty much like getting a gift and not saying thank you. I'm going to pick on Drew because he's on the front row, and I know he doesn't have a car. I'm not actually picking on you. I'm going to say a story. Drew doesn't have a car. He doesn't really need one because he works right there. And one day I decide I'm going to get Drew a car because I think Drew needs a car. So, Drew, I'm not getting you a car. I'm sorry. It's just a story. You're part of my analogy. But I see that Drew rides a bike to church, and Drew rides a bike to work. So one day I decide I'm going to buy him a car. So I tell my wife, and of course, like most wives, she says, we ain't got the money for that. Every time I got a plan, it's like, we don't got money for that, which we don't. But I decide I'm going to buy him a car. So we scrimp and we save and we cut out this or that, and maybe I have to sell a guitar or two or sell a cow or two or something, but we, at a great price, save up and buy Drew a car. And then I give that car to Drew all happy and proud, and Drew takes it, and we park it in the driveway over there, and next week when Drew going to work, he's riding his bike. Whew. And I'm kind of like, oh, whatever. And the next week, Drew's riding his bike to work again. And then I finally ask, hey, Drew, what's up with the car? Don't you like the car? Oh, no, car's great. It's awesome. Thank you. I love the car. And it goes on and on. Next week, Drew's driving his bike to work again, riding his bike. And I'm like, what's wrong? I love the car. Well, then use it. The best thing you can do is use it. That'd be the greatest thank you of all, is to see Drew driving the new car and roll down the window and, yeah, I love the car, thank you. But if you just keep riding your bike, that's not arrogant. That's not saying thank you. He paid for that healing. He paid for that. And by me saying, healing is my family right, that's not arrogant. It's actually a great form of gratitude. He paid with a great, great, great price for that healing. Claim it. Use it. Wear that shirt to work every day and say, this is a great gift. I'm entitled to it. Not because of what I did, not because of what I earned, but because I'm a child of God. Nobody's going to look at you and say, look, Drew, driving that car. No. You're going to look at them and say, yeah, Drew, good for you, my man. You got a car. Same goes with our Father. Oh, he got healed, but I didn't get healed. No. Claim what's right. You're right. Read Isaiah 53 and Psalms 103 and don't claim nothing less. I don't want to be a church that claims or stands for nothing less, that accepts nothing less than the full benefits package that's out there. I don't want to leave some of it on the table. I want to stand on his promises. Jesus, there's a church driving that new car, and we're like, thank you, Jesus. He's going to be happy. He sees the healing in the church. He sees the mental anxiety and all that going away, and he's going to be the proud papa. My people, my kids are doing good. Thank you for that healing, Lord. I want to just come grateful and just say thank you. So one thing people get hung up on is, I've prayed for healing for years, right? I've been praying, and I haven't answered my prayer. God hasn't answered my prayer yet. We hear that quite a bit. Keep praying. I prayed for it. Some might have prayed one time and didn't get it and got discouraged. Some might have prayed 20, 30, 50 years. Haven't been healed yet. All I can say is, I don't understand why. I don't have no aha moment for you. Why? Why you haven't been healed? I will say that I think we need to shift our thinking. When we're stuck in that moment, we need to shift thinking a little bit. Healing is part of our inheritance, right? It was bought for at a great price. But just because my circumstances aren't lining up with what I want to see doesn't mean I change my theology, right? Theology is the study of God, what I believe, or what I understand, or how I... It's a study of what we believe. It's a study of the Bible. And just because the Bible says that I'm entitled to healing and it's my family inheritance, but I'm praying, doesn't mean the Bible changes to match my experience. Well, I haven't been healed yet, so the Bible should say healing is your right sometimes. It's not how it works. Continue to pray. What I believe about God is not determined by my experience or my healing or my lack of healing. What I believe of God is what I read in the Bible and his plan for me. I'd say continue praying. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Continue praying because that's God's plan in your life. His plan is for you to walk in freedom, walk with him, walk in healing, not to be condemned to death for our sins. I don't even know where I'm at here. I want to be that church again. I said it a couple times, that walks 100% in that fullness. But why is it important to be in community, to be in church, to be in fellowship with one another? It's those days when I'm feeling a little down, or I'm a little wore out and tired, and my faith might not be so full, I can come to someone else and say, hey, I'm lacking a little faith today. I got enough for all of us, right? As a community has enough faith for when you're feeling a little down or you're feeling a little, come to the Father, come to the community. Community is huge. Community is important. Being part of a family. Then we can all pray for that healing together, right? Be renewed like youth, like the eagles, taken out of the pit, pulled out and crowned with love and compassion. That's God's will. Never once did Jesus say, I'm giving you this disease to teach you a lesson, right? Oh, I did this and this is what I'm just getting back what I owe paid. What's due me? God never said that. His plan is for you to walk in freedom and to walk in healing. We just got to accept it, right? We got to reach out and grab it and draw it into us. gospel of the kingdom comes with power. Who likes to have power? I don't like to be weak and down and out. He paid a great price, and it's available. Let's claim it, right? Let's walk in healing. Let's walk in mental clarity. Let's walk in physical health. Let's walk like youth, like young, like eagles. Amen? I'm going to give it to Dad to close. On the spot.
You don't need to give it to me. We got to give it to Jesus. Amen? It reminded me of a lot of stories, but you know, way back in the 70s when we were in New York, this one gal, young, pretty, very faithful to Jesus, committed. She's out from Long Island with Mike and them, and she would just serve the Lord. I mean, just serve people by serving the Lord. And she wasn't a name-it-and-claim-it kind of person. So when we talk about a car, it's not that kind of a, I want a Cadillac, you know, I deserve the best. But, you know, she was just constantly doing things for people, and she needed a car. And, you know, she would say, well, God give you that car yet? It's outside. And they'd be harassing her and teasing her, you know, well, what does it look like? And she'd tell them, you know, well, it seats six people, and it's got a big enough trunk where I can haul things to people because they need it. You know, she's explaining, you know, and it gets good mileage and stuff, you know. And, you know, time would go by. You get that car? Yeah, it's outside. I mean, this went on for like 6 months. They're harassing her. You know, I think they're trying to get her to the point where she wouldn't believe God, you know. And then one day they said, well, did you get the car? Yeah. Where is it? It's outside. And so they said, well, what does it look like? And she began to explain it. And I want to tell you something. God put it on this guy's heart, and he miraculously found a car that looked just like what she was talking about. And he bought it, and he parked it outside. It was no new car, but you know, she had asked for a good car that ran good. And I'll tell you what, he said, well, if you say it's outside, go look. Yeah? She went outside to look, and there it is. Sometimes that's how simple it is. We got to go outside and look, and there it is. God has some things for us. You know, and sometimes we just don't believe that we're worth it. Well, you know, maybe we're not, but he loves us. And, you know, we bless our kids sometimes even when they're worth it or not, right? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we come before you as a people. Lord, we have many needs, and yet, Lord, it's obvious by your word that you've fulfilled it all. And Lord, we just have to begin to accept it and Lord, begin to just believe. God, doubt has been around from the beginning of time. And you say it, if you'd only believe, you'll receive. And Lord, your word is true, God, no matter what our mind says, no matter what the world says, no matter how we feel, what we look at, your word is true. So Lord, right now, God, I pray that each and every one that needs something within their body, within their life, Lord, within their health, whatever's going on, Father, that we would grab a hold of that which you purchased upon the cross. And Lord, we would not only receive it for ourselves, but Lord, we administer it out to others because you've given us the gifts also. And Lord, if there's anybody here that needs a touch, let them come for prayer. If there's anybody here that hasn't received the Holy Spirit, let them come, God, and ask. And so, Father, we just release your people, God, into your blessings in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. That's good preaching. Amen.